David Coleman, what a pleasure to see you this morning, only because you are geek bearing gifts. And with that in mind, we admire. Who do I say thank you to for this beautiful bag of fudge?
That's wild Irish chocolates.
Delicious.
Yeah, she called into me yesterday. Actually, there's more. There's a whole box full of stuff here.
Well, I'm going to take it all home and share none of it with my team.
Yeah, I know.
My team. The team, I should say. Thank you, Trish.
Yeah, she called in yesterday. They'll be probably listening. And yeah, there's all sorts of bits and pieces in there.
Lovely. Thank you for that.
Actually, your researcher opened it because she thought it was important to check.
For powder.
I couldn't be just bringing dodgy boxes into
this
studio.
You wouldn't know. Thanks, Trish. I'll have that later on with a strong cup of tea.
Yeah.
Delicious. Listen to that thud of the fudge. That's good stuff. Lovely presentation, by the way.
Yeah, but she said I couldn't help. I brought a few other bits for him as well.
You see, that's quality. That's quality. Thank you for that. Very, very kind. How's the weekend?
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Didn't work at all for once.
You know, I have the very opposite.
I know. You're just
very
saying.
Opposite.
It was so nice to hear you work and then me basking in
all
the
day Friday, all night Friday, all day Saturday, all night Saturday. A lot of work there too. But anyway, yesterday was lovely.
We were at a family christening on Saturday.
Which was good.
Yeah, really nice.
It's beautiful day yesterday.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, well, yesterday was Sunday, of course, but Saturday was nice too. It was just more that the kids could get out because lots of small kids in the family. So
find yourself leaving the house going, whoa, it's warm. It's been freezing for months. It's like, whoa, it's warm. Don't know how to deal with that.
Got the grass cut finally.
All the important things. Shall we get down to business, David?
Yes,
Coleman?
We should.
Let's have a look at this one. Please ask for advice. I know that this is beyond what he normally talks about, but I have a 20-year-old daughter, the youngest of three. My husband and I have to drive her everywhere, or she makes sure a friend will go with her. Last week, she wanted me to leave work to collect her from the train station just to drop her home, and then I was to return to work. So I drew the line there. She has absolutely no confidence. Well, there you are, 20. Still.
One of the difficulties is, of course, that you can get what's called a learned helplessness, which is where you have a natural anxiety about something and you try and avoid it and somebody else steps in to try and give you a hand, but then you come to rely on all the help. And it may be that for that 20-year-old that she does have some level of anxiety, that perhaps something happened and she just lost a little bit of confidence about doing some kind of stuff, and then the parents stepped in to fill the gap and she's now just become reliant upon the parents there filling in the gap. And so part of the difficulty is that as long as they continue to help her out in that way by doing everything for her, she won't ever take the steps to do things for herself.
So are you talking about tough love? Are you saying get a bus or walk home, whatever it is?
Yeah, but given that she's 20, it doesn't really say kind of what it was that prompted her to struggle with her confidence
way. That's very true.
And so it might actually be the case that, now that she's 20, that she actually goes and gets some counselling for herself so that she actually learns some of the skills in order to be able to, calm herself down, regulate any anxiety that comes up, so that she feels she can do things. Because actually, it does become an ever-decreasing circle. The more other people do for her, the less she feels she can do for herself, the less she feels she can do for herself, the less she believes she can do things for herself as well. And so they want to try and start spinning that circle in the opposite direction, where she begins to get a little bit of, a sense of achievement from some of the small things that she might do, which in turn will build to a greater sense of, oh, well, if I can do that, maybe I can do other things as well. And so again, that will become self-reinforcing, the sense of positivity and achievement, if she can get onto that cycle. But she may need just a little bit of help to do that, and it might be beyond the mom and dad's scope with just given how much they've been involved in helping her to trying to help her and actually possibly not even helping her at all.
And counselling, as we say a lot, is great because it takes you out of the comfort zone of people who know your story anyway, or think they know it, because they don't often.
Yeah.
Because they're too close to see it.
Yeah.
And it gets you into an environment where it's somebody who doesn't know your story, but does care what you have to say. But won't be judging.
Exactly. And in a situation like they're in, everybody probably has a sense of expectation of what she can achieve.
Exactly.
And so nobody's going to push her beyond that. And so, somebody who's outside and has a different perspective on it may be able to actually give her the right kind of encouragement to begin to try and do different things that she can then feel good about achieving.
Can you ask David for some advice regarding my son, who is three? He's fully potty trained with no problems. However, when it comes to having to go to the loo when not at home, he's petrified of going into the toilet. So, for example, shops, restaurants, anywhere that's not at home, he'll go to the loo in his granny's house because he stays there while I'm working. But it seems anywhere that he's not familiar with petrifies him. He'll cry and he'll be shaken with fear. He always refers to the hand dryers and seems that this is what he's really scared of, the noise of the hand dryers. Excuse me, he has no problem with other sounds like hairdryer or Hoover, so I can't understand about anything about that. He will be starting preschool in September, and I know this will be a platform, a problem, sorry, excuse me, if we don't get it sorted before then. What can we do?
Well, the big difficulty is that I'd imagine he probably got a fright. So he may have been even sitting on the loo. And then, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen or heard, presumably you have the Dyson hand dryers, which are particularly loud, or they have these other jet hand dryers.
This is the hands into them.
Yeah. But there's other ones that are like jets that are, again, way more powerful than old hand dryers used to be. And they really do scream.
It can make your skin crawl, literally.
Yeah, you can see, exactly. You can see something rippling.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. Actually, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, but it may be that he was just, you know, happily going about his business and one of these things started in the background and he had no clue what it was and he may have just had a fright. So a little bit of, you know, kind of, I suppose, graded exposure. So it may be about when he's at home, giving him, you know, while somebody's around, a bit of unexpected Hoover in the background or some other noise, you know, that he's kind of a little bit more accustomed to. If it is the case that he's actually frightened of the hairdryer sounds. And the other thing then is to go and check out a few public toilets that don't actually have hairdryers, that still have old-fashioned or the towels that you can pull down or something like that, that might actually allow him to use a bathroom without the fright, and then again just giving him a sense of achievement that he actually learns that he can do this stuff, that he doesn't have to be frightened of it. But that seems to be the big thing. The other thing is, I guess in due course, as he gets older, it will become less of a problem, and you know, he'll just get used to, you know, using public toilets and stuff. But in the interim, age three, I mean, you know, most 3-year-olds, you can kind of pretty much stand them up at a drain and let them wee away, you know, so you don't necessarily have to be bringing them into the toilets all the time.
Some kids love, when they're about three or four, love going to toilets out of, when you're out in a restaurant or a cinema or wherever you might be, they just, I want to go to the toilet, but they don't really. I think it's just like the distraction or curiosity.
The novelty of...
Yeah. I want to go and check out the bog. David, my 14-month-old son is starting to bite. 14 months. I don't know what to do. He mostly seems to do it to my wife and now his 3-year-old cousin. Doesn't seem to do it in a bad way, more playful. But he can't.
Playful nibble.
But he can't be doing this, can he?
No, he can't be doing it. And part of it is how you respond to it. And so whenever he bites your wife, she needs to be ready to act. And ideally, she needs to be able to intervene before he gets to the stage of biting. So don't let him come close enough to bite. Or if she's giving him, you know, if she's cuddling him or whatever, and he looks like he's about to bite, she needs to, you know, kind of move him away so that he can't actually get his teeth into her.
Like an
Exactly. And say, no biting. The key thing is that he needs to get the same consistent message all the time. No biting. Yeah. And then you put him down on the floor or you put him down away from you so that he can't bite. So he just learns that he's not allowed to do this, that other people won't let him. And sometimes, you know, as parents, we kind of think initially it's all a bit funny, or we go, ooh, don't hurt mommy. Don't hurt mommy.
Make That's a game of it.
And of course, you know, then the child doesn't really understand, but they do realize that they're getting loads of attention for it. So you want it all to be, you know, kind of firm, not necessarily unkind. You know, you can still be warm about it, but really firm. No biting, look stern, put the child down on the ground, he's only 14 months, and say, you know, when you stop biting, then you can sit on mammy's knee again, or something to that effect.
David, my daughter's being very badly bullied and the school cannot do anything unless I reveal names of the bullies. They really want to help me, but I'm afraid to give it the go-ahead. She's terrified to be the whistleblower and feels that they'll pick on her again. Can a parent go to the guards if a bullying situation spills beyond school walls? Do we need evidence? Or will we be believed? That's a hard... I worry about that all the time. That is a horrible situation.
It is. I'd be slow to go to the guards over a situation like that, particularly where you have a case that the school already want to believe your daughter.
Which is a great start.
Yeah, absolutely. The key thing that you need to know is, what plan will the school have? How will they actually address the situation? Because if it's just a case that they're going to bring all the alleged bullies into a room and say, stop being mean to little Sophie or whoever she is, you know, you definitely don't want that. That's not going to help. But if they're going to take a proper approach where they're going to become vigilant, where they're going to talk about the nature of bullying with the whole class, where they're going to talk about, you know, what happens to people who get picked on, and that these children can actually learn to care about, you know, this girl and other children in the class. And then it's well worth spilling the beans and giving the names, and it won't make it any worse, as long as the school are going to be really vigilant. That's the key thing. You need to be confident that the school are actually going to deal with it, as opposed to just saying, oh yes, you tell us who and we'll make them stop. And then of course sometimes they don't make them stop, and they don't really push it, they don't talk to the other children's parents or whatever it might take in that situation. But you know, if it is a case that your daughter actually just doesn't have the resources anymore because she's so overwhelmed, because she's been bullied so much, and that she can't take it into her own hands to try and stop it, then you have to intervene, and other adults, you know, definitely need to get involved. So I would absolutely tell the school the names of all the other children who are allegedly picking
up. Oh really? So name and shame and say, look, it's
well, how else can it stop? You know, and in order for your daughter to begin to feel better about herself, the bullying has to stop.
Well, here's the nightmare scenario continuing, is that the relevant teachers or authorities turn around to the kids that have been named and say, you are up to no good. Mm-hmm. It's got to stop.
Yeah.
They turn around and say, well, the only reason they know is because she ratted on us and blew the whistle, so to speak. Mm. So let's get her more.
Yes.
That's the parents' fear.
Sure, but that's what I'm saying about how the school is going to respond. Because if that's all that the school do, say, don't be picking on other kids, you know, wagging a finger at these children, then absolutely the bullying could continue and could get worse. But if the school, you know, actively intervene and make a big issue about bullying, not just with this girl in this situation, but make it an issue in the school where they actually begin to target the whole nature of bullying, that they make it just, you know, that the school becomes a place where actually all children are encouraged to talk.
Awareness, yeah. Discussion.
I mean, the most successful kind of whole school programs all involve children feeling empowered to talk about aspects of bullying, not just bullying that they might receive, but bullying that they might see of other children, where they can say, look, you know, I saw this, I didn't think it was right, I didn't think it was fair, or, you know, she seemed really upset when he was saying all this stuff to her. And so those kind of telling schools are the ones that are most successful in dealing with bullying.
Ryan, both my children, aged 3 and 6, hate the hand dryers, the bathrooms in there. They'll run a mile from them with their hands over the ears, says Sonia. My boy of 6 holds his poop for days. What can I do about this? I've tried reward, etc.
Well, there's two things they're supposed to consider. One is that if it's the case that that leads then to regular constipation and what we call overflow soiling, which is where, you know, the stuff becomes so impacted and then kind of leaky poos begin to kind of get out and he ends up with staining in his pants and bad smells and stuff, then you need to go and get some active help with it. If it's just the case that he's holding his poo, but, you know, he then goes to the toilet and he's just got a slow bowel, slow metabolism, then, you know, just bring him to your GP to make sure there's nothing physically wrong.
They can help him along, I'm sure.
And then, you know, as long as his diet is relatively good, you know, leave him at it. But the key thing is, if he's getting constipated and then it's leading to this overflow soiling, then that's something that will need more help.
All right, we'll leave it there for today. David Coma, thank you so much, as always.
I'm going to hang around for the break where we actually crack into some of this.
I'm not cracking into this until I go home. I'm sharing this. This is coming home with me. But the rest of the box is, I will share.
Oh, you're so kind.
Tell Trish I said hi. Send her my love. All right, that's David Coleman this Monday morning.